This is regional news coverage from the KBIA newsroom. I'm Lucas Hudson. This weekend, Columbia hosted the 118th Boston Strong 5K race. KBIA's Brittany Crocker reports the event was part of a global effort by pavementrunner.com to raise awareness and support for Boston Marathon bombing victims.
About 35 runners, walkers, volunteers, and supporters gathered in the rain at Stevens Lake Park Saturday morning for the 118th Boston Strong 5K run. The race began at 9:30 with a moment of silence, where participants raised their hands in a number one sign to signify their support for Boston. The Boston Strong 5K required no registration or fees to participate and was organized and supported entirely by volunteers. The race attracted local runners and walkers of all levels and ages, and even marathoners who have competed in Boston.
Let's go for Boston!
Supporters cheered Boston Strong as runners crossed the finish line and collected their stickers for participating in the event. Brittany Crocker, KBIA News.
A legislative proposal to change Missouri's income and sales tax rate appears to be a first-of-its-kind proposition for the state. Missouri has raised its sales tax several times since a 1% tax was imposed in 1933. But none of those increases has been linked to an income tax cut. The Senate this week could consider whether to give final approval to a bill cutting income taxes for individuals and businesses while raising the state sales tax. Republicans say the shift could make the state more appealing to businesses, but Democratic Governor Jay Nixon says it could place a greater burden on seniors and veterans living on fixed incomes. Columbia's oldest parent co-op preschool is closing after more than 54 years in business. KBIA's Joshua Teasley reports.
Southwest Play School is the first parent-owned and operated preschool in Columbia and has been working with children for almost 50 years. Sharon Garrett started teaching at Southwest 19 years ago. She's been teaching her whole life and now plans to retire. She says the need for co-ops have changed. Garrett teaches at the co-op Monday through Friday while parent volunteers work alongside the children for a set number of days each semester.
I just love what I do. I love the children. I love their parents. You know, it'd be terrible to go to a job every day you didn't love what you did.
Jennifer Griffith is a parent volunteer with a child currently enrolled at the program. She says she considered other co-op programs for her child, but none were like Southwest.
I just loved Miss Garrett and her style and the way she was with kids and makes me feel very special.
Southwest Play School rented its building from the Unity Church of Columbia. The church will decide what to do with the location after the school's last day on May 15th. Garrett says she isn't sure what she will do after retirement, but she is looking forward to the next step in her life. Joshua Teasley, KBIA News.
The Camdenton Airport plans to expand, which would allow more planes to land on a longer runway. KBIA's Haley Buck has details.
The Camdenton Airport is doing an environmental assessment, part of the last of a three-part airport expansion plan. The airport is lengthening its runway by 1,000 feet. Due to restrictions from insurance companies, some private planes wouldn't be covered by insurance when flying into Camdenton, since its runway was only 4,000 feet long. After this expansion, the 5,000-foot limit many insurers use would be met, and city officials predict more business traffic will lead to economic growth. The company that manages the airport, Airlake Aviation, started a letter-writing campaign to gain support for the expansion, and Airlake's owner, Corey Lewerk, says justifying the community need and the potential was important.
It's like putting a four-lane highway into a community. You know, it's not just a gas station that's going to benefit. It's, you know, it's going to bring all kinds of, you know, infrastructure, brings business to the community when corporations look at locating.
The airport has also undergone improvements in its weather system and has implemented better landing instruments. The whole plan is estimated to cost $6.2 million, 10% of which will be funded by the city, and the rest will be covered by state and federal grants. The project is set to be completed by 2016. Haley Buck, KBIA News.
Missouri Governor Jay Nixon made a more than $200,000 profit on his inaugural celebration and plans to keep the surplus money in his political committee. An accounting of Nixon's inaugural costs provided to the Associated Press shows his campaign committee spent about $156,000 on such things as hotel event space, invitations, and food. Nixon's finance report shows he took in about $389,000 in cash contributions from December through February. His campaign manager says most of that was related to the inaugural event. The extra inaugural contributions combined with the excess cash from the 2012 campaign gave Nixon's political committee a balance of more than $427,000 at the start of April. Nixon cannot seek re-election. Campaign manager Orrin Schur says Nixon will use the money to advance the governor's agenda and cover political expenses. Some adjunct professors at Moberly Area Community College are losing work. The school seeks to keep down the costs of providing health insurance to its employees. The Columbia Daily Tribune reports that the school has told its part-time professors they will have a 6-credit teaching limit this summer and a 9-credit limit this fall semester. The Federal Affordable Care Act requires employees with at least 50 workers to offer health insurance to all employees who work an average of 30 hours weekly. The school says it hopes to offset the reduction in teaching loads with an increased pay rate for its adjunct faculty and may eventually offer insurance coverage to some of its part-timers. The 2-year school also has campuses in Columbia, Hannibal, Kirksville, Macon, and Mexico. Democratic U.S. Senator Claire McCaskill of Missouri says officials are considering the best response to evidence that the Syrian government likely used chemical weapons against its own people. As Tim Lloyd tells us, McCaskill discussed the options as a guest on CBS's Face the Nation Saturday morning.
McCaskill said officials are exploring humanitarian options to help the King of Jordan deal with a flood of refugees crossing his border with Syria, which could uproot the regime of the valued U.S. ally. She added that officials are working out possible, quote, surgical responses that won't make the problem worse. And with the situation so fluid in Syria, McCaskill said putting boots on the ground should only be done with extreme caution.
So I don't think you ever want to say absolutely not. Obviously, we don't want to do that unless it's absolutely necessary.
In contrast, Republican Senator Saxby Chambliss of Georgia joined McCaskill on the Sunday morning talk show and said sending in the troops is an option that should be taken off the table. In St. Louis, I'm Tim Lloyd.
The plight of a Missouri man convicted of killing a newspaper sports editor soon will be the focus of a documentary film as he continues his battle for freedom. The Columbia Daily Tribune reports a documentary team directed by Andrew Jenks, host of an MUTV documentary series, began working last week on the case of Ryan Ferguson. Ferguson is serving a 40-year sentence for the November 1, 2001 death of Tribune sports editor Kent Heithold, who was beaten and strangled in the newspaper's parking lot. Ferguson is asking an appeals court for a new trial after his latest attempt was denied. Todd Akin isn't ruling out a political comeback nearly 6 months after losing Missouri's U.S. Senate race amid widespread criticism of his comments about legitimate rape. Akin recently spoke to KSDK-TV in his first interview since losing the November election to Democratic incumbent Claire McCaskill. He said he's ready for a comeback, but hasn't decided if that will be in academia, public speaking, or even politics. The University of Missouri is getting a $2 million donation from the foundation for a St. Louis rental car company. Missouri Chancellor Brady Deaton says the gift from Enterprise Holdings Foundation, the philanthropic arm of St. Louis-based Enterprise Car Rental Company, will fund research related to biofuels, biomass, and energy efficiency. The Columbia Daily Tribune reports that St. Louis-based Enterprise Holdings owns Enterprise Rent-A-Car, National Car Rental, and Alamo Rent-A-Car brands. For KBIA News, I'm Lucas Hudson.